I got a bit of an elbow, Ken, with verse 5 concerning my fishing stuff. Be content with what you have. So I'll stop looking at boats. No. Each time that I can remember as a child going to my folks' house and, you know, traveling back and forth from town to home, and even as Michelle and I do now as we travel back and forth to home, we go down the same blacktop road, Fairhaven blacktop, or Fairhaven Road is actually what its name is. We always call it the Fairhaven blacktop because it's asphalt blacktop. As we were going down that road, I all these years growing up, I can remember, and I know the bumps in the road, and I, you know, having been down it so much, I know the road really, really well. In fact, there's a bump in front of Richard Pugh's, what used to be Richard Pugh's farm, in front of his barn, the north side of the road. I can point it out. I can see it in my mind, and you the big, you know, over top of it when you hit it every time. As I was growing up, I got to know that bump, and as I started driving, I figured out that sweet spot that if you move just a little bit to the right by the ditch, you could avoid it and not hit it. If you head off further to the west, it runs off, the road runs off into the hills, and ultimately you go far enough, it ends up near the Mississippi River. I can remember as we were coming east from west to east, as a child, or as I was driving, looking in my rearview mirror and seeing the hills that we had just come over, and then looking as we crest that hill, looking at the valley below. My folks' farm is down there, where my grandpa farmed is down there. You can see Milledgeville off in the distance and the creek running through there that floods stuff all the time. Vivid memories for me. This morning, I gaze at my own life as a road, and as I look back, as I look in that rearview mirror, there are people that have been influential in my life, who raised me, who trained me, who really were crucial to my journey here, who have been that influence positively for me. First for me, it's my parents. My story begins with them. I grew up in a Christian home, came to faith around the age of 5 or 6. And what grace is, as we think upon that alone, what grace I have witnessed in my life simply in that regard, to grow up in a Christian home. I had the privilege of growing up in a household with 2 saved parents who not only instructed us as kids in godly living, but also lived that out on a daily basis before our very eyes. Love, we had seen grace and kindness and sacrifice and commitment and diligence and so many more things. I know that they were praying for us often. They have been such a blessing to me as I grew up, and even now, as Michelle and I are married and have our lives together, there's still what an awesome blessing they are to us. What an amazing gift the two of us have in our folks. They supported me as I went to school and as I prepared for ministry, and even as Michelle and I made the decision to plant our roots here, far from them, 4 hours from them, which meant sacrificing the normal times that many people have with family and being able to see them on the weekends or popping in for a visit or on holidays, so on and so forth. But they knew that we must follow God's call. This fall we're going to be in 1 Timothy, we're going to be studying that. And in chapter 1 I was reading, the Apostle Paul looks back on his life and the mercy shown him. And he says in verse 14 of that chapter, he says, "Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was." And I, as I was thinking this week and about my parents, I echo his comments on how gracious and generous the Lord was to give me them and for the home that I was brought up in and that ultimately led me to him. And then I come to Jim and Karen. I first met Jim, I don't know how old I was. He was redoing the plumbing in our house in a crawl space in the basement, you know, working right here all the time. Reworking the bathroom plumbing. He used to work for the plumbing company in town. He and Karen later became dear friends when we attended, as he said, the Millsville Brethren Church together for a number of years. We had, I can remember the youth having movie nights in his tiny little living room at his tiny house out near Hazelhurst. Jim took us to the first, took us to visit the largest church this small town farm boy had ever been to. We went to Willow Creek once, and my word, was that big. Millsville Brethren Church was 200, 150, something like that. So that was an awakening for me to ever see things that big. Jim and Karen, I know, along with my parents, I went with them to my first youth conference ever out at Estes Park in Colorado. Jim saw, I think, something in me that I didn't see in myself. At least I thought. I didn't know your side of the equation until this morning. I saw it as you giving me the push to do the first sermon, which, to set the record straight, I was terrified. I can remember, though, sitting down that one Sunday afternoon and after church and writing it, and I think it was only 10 minutes. It felt like an eternity, though. As the teens comment on this all the time about the fact of, oh, you do public speaking okay. I says, oh, well, that's nice. I says, I'm scared every time I come up. I try not to show it too bad. But yeah, what a time that was. I can still remember a conversation we had in the driveway of my folks' farm where you had told me you thought I'd be a pastor one day, and I thought you were absolutely nuts. That you were out of your mind. And I fought that as the Lord, not that particular comment, but I fought that as the Lord was leading me in that direction in college, away from accounting, which was safe. And I could go back home. But God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? Tell him your plans, and he just kind of laughs at it. My time at Calvary, now university, was of course, major influence in my life, not because of the friends I had made, who I still talk with today, but the teachers and the men and women who were there, who invested their lives, not only me, but also in Michelle, who trained us, who gave us the tools for ministry and helped us really to establish a good foundation as I began and started in the pastorate. I can still remember some of my favorite classes were with Mr. Smith and his theology and hearing things. I didn't know what bibliology was until I got to college. I'd never heard that word before. Dispensational premillennial, what in the world is that? What a wonderful time it was to get some solid teaching there. I think of Mom A. She's near and dear to us, and she was my boss when I used to work at the Learning Center. Michelle used to live with her, and she's a dear friend of ours, and she continues to pray for us regularly, remembers us, asks us about how our trips are going and how the church is doing, I can remember we've had various conversations about her own ministry experience. She and her husband, who passed many years ago, used to pastor a church down in Watertown, Whitewater, Wisconsin, Pastor Paul and Marcia knew them, so she has invested those years of experience in us as well as we've conversed these many years. And I treasure those years in college and how vast my knowledge of God grew in those days. I'm so thankful for that. My plan originally was to join up with an organization called Village Missions and be a missionary pastor somewhere in the Midwest. The Midwest was safe. It was farm. I thought, that's the direction I'll go. Unknown to me, though, at the time was how little I actually knew about ministry. They teach you a lot in college, but you need a lot more when you get here and actually start doing ministry. It's easy to study it in a textbook, but the textbook doesn't always go the way it goes. These past years with Paul and his investment in my life and training me have been a blessing, and him and Marcia and their I know many words of encouragement and friendship are near and dear to both Michelle and I. Paul has been gracious and has a gift for mentoring, which is priceless. And as we've chatted on numerous times, and even I think this past week or two, there's still much I have to learn, and I continue to learn more and more from you all the time, and that's not going to cease. Paul is a source of wisdom and a wealth of knowledge that I continue to glean from. And not only Paul, but the guys I meet with each month. That's when I first met Ken. September, I think, of 2008 was the first breakfast we had together. And he's become a dear friend and a brother in Christ. And Michelle and I have enjoyed our times with both him and Mary, eating meals at your home and playing greedy. What a joy it has been. And in fact, Wednesdays I look forward to with great anticipation because of the friendships I have there with Ken and with Brian and Dave and David and a number of the other guys that come. There is so much laughter shared and wisdom for me, I know, that can be gleaned and is gleaned from around that table as we converse and eat together. And lastly, I must remember, of course, my wife. Not out of obligation or because I'll get in trouble, but because I want to. She has been my companion these last 8 years, and we've been doing ministry together, we've been through much, but ministry for me has been more effective with her by my side. She has an insight into the mind of women that I do not have, and I don't claim to have. There's things she notices that my eyes go blind to all the time. Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." And I have found treasure of immeasurable value in her. She shares my ministry dreams. She's my cheerleader, my encourager, my comforter, who listens. She listens to my frustrations with understanding. At times, she gently helps me see the error of my ways and corrects me, and at the same time also protects me from spreading myself too thin, gently reminding me of those things. As I look in the mirror, there are countless others that I could speak of who have been influential in my life. You all, I remember as I came back in, I forget if, I came in August, but it was right around that time I was showered with gift cards, I remember, when I first came. What a blessing you all have been and welcoming me as family. I remember spending that first year a number of nights with Jerry and Michelle in the bleachers cheering for Andrew's soccer games, and they invited me around to have supper with them and to do things with their family. And you all have been so encouraging and gracious to us these many years, and we are continually blown away by your generosity and count it a privilege to call you family and to call Grace home and to be able to serve alongside of you all. In that road and looking in the rearview mirror, there's also the view ahead, though, and what does that look like? For me, it's been one of change. I mentioned to Paul the other day as we were sitting in what's now my office, it was weird to be behind the desk and him sitting on the other side in that office. It was just weird, and we're still getting used to which light switch to flip when we go through the hallway. I haven't headed across the stage yet, though, but it's been a change for the two of us, and it's this transition will be a change for us as a church as well, because we start a new chapter of sorts for us. And what does that mean for us as a church, though? What does that look like moving forward as we look into the future? Change is always that word that comes across and that can be a scary word, but let's start with what stays the same, because there's things that are not going to change. We are still going to be preaching the same gospel. Ephesians 2:8-9, as we have up here, is still going to be central to our teaching. "For by grace you are saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, It is not of works, so that no one can boast. We will still be proclaiming salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That will not change. And we can count on that. We will continue to be committed to the truth of God's word, despite really our culture that beckons us to conform to it and to forsake Christ. Our mission is going to remain the same as well. We read in Matthew, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. That has been the anthem, the banner for grace for many years, and that's going to stay the same. Loving God, loving others will be central to all that we do, whether it's praising God through song or our obedience to his commands or sharing the gospel with others or simply serving one another. Those words will continue to be our banner. What is changing is my responsibility. I've taken on more leadership and oversight in the content of the teaching and preaching and overall vision and direction of the church. And this past month has been one of adjustment. You know, I've been working with the youth for many years now, and to change from that as we're transitioning out and now to take the church as a whole and wrapping my mind around those things has been an adjustment for me as I do planning and as I broaden my thinking there. But it's been stretching, but it's been good. And I'd encourage you at the same time as I'm making changes to consider perhaps some changes that we may need to make as well. Perhaps you as individuals. And I know that word change is a scary one. Yet I am, if you're like me, comfort and familiarity are best friends that I don't like to be parted with. I do not. I want to keep them by my side all the time. But we have not been called to comfort and to familiarity. As we've been talking these past couple of weeks, being in Genesis 22 and then also in Daniel 3, we have been called what? To faith and obedience. And as a new chapter begins for me, perhaps it's a new chapter for you as well in regards to these things. Speaking specifically of obedience, as believers, as a church, we must be involved in serving one another. We must be involved in sharing the gospel with those around us and worldwide. We must be committed to coming together regularly so that we might praise God as a church, so that we might pray together collectively, so that we might study the word together, so that we might serve others hand in hand. And the consistent practice of these things is being really obedient to what we have been called to as believers and as a church. And they shouldn't be treated as a checklist to complete and, yeah, I got that done, but rather they're the manifestation of our deep love for one another and for God. And there's also faith. Faith is crucial to all this. Hebrews tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I think faith becomes an even bigger part when we must or should or being asked to do what is beyond our own strength, beyond our comfort. Because then we have to rely on, not on self, but we have to rely on God and on one another, which is really God's desire for us anyway. And as we start this new chapter together, where will you exercise that faith? For me, I started actually with Marcia when I first came in the Sparkies group. So some of the teens that are in our group now, I've had them since they were that little. It's just amazing. I were thinking, how in the world did that much time go by? But not long after that, I ended up leading the TNT boys. And I can lead, but teaching kids is difficult for me. My wife is an expert at it. She is much better. I'd rather have her do it. But I did it. And many times with my wife's help, with direction from Paul, and I think it was successful. But boy, what a stretch for me in those days. We have ministry outlets here at Grace that we need you all to be plugged into. Awana, Sunday school, the sound and visual and worship teams, the ushers, greeters, outreach. In fact, I was talking with Paul, and we talk often about people trying to get people to meet one another. When I was at the Brethren Church, I don't remember how old I was. I was in junior high, I think. I got asked to greet one Sunday. Shy, yeah. Greeting, yeah. But if you can shake a hand, say hello, and pass out a piece of paper, you're qualified, all right? And so actually, I'd like to have more than just our board wives greeting. I'd like to replace, not replace them, but let them mingle with some other folks and let you all be the face up there to be able to do some of those things. In fact, I put a sign-up sheet out in the foyer for that. Our three-deep pool in many ministries has become shallow and is needing help as well. And as Paul and I were chatting, there's ministries that are coming up and things that haven't even been thought of yet that we're needing people's help in that's coming. What's your niche? What's your interest? If you don't have one, if you can't figure that out, ask God to put that into your heart and to make that, whatever it is, undeniably evident to you. This is where you should be plugged in. Or someone's not helping here, so you know what? I'll step in the time being. In the meantime, you know, I encourage you to plug in somewhere. Explore. Many years ago, or several years ago, as I was going through a study, I can remember some words talking about if you don't know what your gift is, don't sit around waiting to figure it out. He said, if you don't know what it is, plug in somewhere. Try it for a little while. If it doesn't fit, okay, it didn't fit. Try something else. Discover what it is. Be involved. Serve. As we've been talking this morning, this has come up before, but there's a statistic that says that 20% of the people in churches often do 80% of the ministry. And that should never describe us. There should be 100% involvement among the body. And age doesn't prohibit you, whether you're young, in the middle, or old. Age shouldn't prohibit that. And in the pastoral ministry, I often hear of pastors retiring. I don't know if retiring, as I was thinking this week, is the right word, though, we should ever use in regards to ministry. None of us should retire from ministry. Age and experience will affect our abilities and our effectiveness in certain areas, positively or negatively, but as believers, we are never called to retire from serving one another and serving God. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11, just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the varied grace of God. I heard that many years ago. It also describes the many-colored grace of God, that God has, you know, a color for every need. Whoever speaks, let it be with God's words. Whoever serves, do so with the strength that God supplies, so that in everything God will be glorified through Jesus Christ. We are to be good stewards of the gift God's given each of us and to fulfill our role within the body so that the church can be most effective and ultimately bring greater glory to God. And this may stretch our faith, but that's good. It's good. Because really it's part of God crafting us into the vessel that is most useful to Him and that can bring Him the greatest glory. Let's pray. Father, as we continue, we pray for your direction in all things. We pray that even as we've talked these past couple of weeks, that you would find us to be faithful and obedient people, willing to go where you are calling, willing to even listen, and having an ear open all the time to that voice. We pray that it wouldn't be so that we would receive recognition, though, but that ultimately we would give all glory back to you. That we would be about, as we even talked this morning, about furthering your kingdom, about reaching others with the love that you have shown, reaching out with the hope of the gospel so that people might experience the hope that we know, that we are intimately acquainted with. We thank you for your grace, and we pray that you would find us committed, continuing to be committed to stay true to your word, to be faithful, to be obedient, and to be, as Jesus said in John, known for the love we have for one another and for those around us. We pray this in your name. Amen.
We're going to invite the board to come up, as well as Jim and Ken and Doug, and we're going to pray for Daniel and Michelle. You know, prayer is the key, isn't it, to life and ministry, and so we're going to do that right now. So, guys, if you would come, please. Just pray as you would like to, and